Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing and your MMA, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra with myself, Adil Adibo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. Today, myself and Gareth are going to unpack Friday night's event in Riyadh, Knockout Chaos, where Anthony Joshua absolutely obliterated former UFC champion Francis Ngannou just inside two rounds to send an emphatic message to the rest of the heavyweight division. We'll also take a look at what that win does for AJ, where it leaves him in the heavyweight mix, and how he should now map out his year with Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk likely to be fighting twice. We'll also discuss Francis Ngannou's future in the sport. He's now 0-2 as a pro boxer, and at the age of 37, is there any reason for him to stick around in boxing? We'll also take a look at this weekend's action as both Joe Joyce and Dillian White return to action, and we have to talk about Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson after it was announced the pair will fight on Netflix later this year. As always, loads to go through in the hour. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If Anthony Joshua can dispose the MMA champion, it is lights out!
Wow.
Anthony Joshua! And Ngannou's out cold, ladies and gentlemen. He's not even moving.
Now, Tyson, for me, is the number one heavyweight. He's the lineal champion. And, you know, he's done it at the highest level. The 18th of May, we're going to find out who is the best heavyweight in the world against the guy who beat AJ twice.
When you know deep down you haven't done anything, you're not guilty, and it's just a matter of obviously deal with it in silence and mistake whatever been said about you publicly. It's stressful. It's very, very, very stressful.
Jake Paul and his brother have made huge amounts of money, and this is a digital footprint fight. It's about money.
Mr. Gareth A. Davis, both of us fresh from Saudi. When did you get back to UK?
Well, I got caught in some floods in Dubai in a connecting flight layover on the Saturday morning, so I didn't get back till Sunday afternoon, but it was a long trip. I was there 10 days, of course, and because I took an event in Dubai, in Abu Dhabi, rather. But, you know, these are the halcyon days right now of the heavyweight division. And wouldn't miss it for a moment.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Even though it was, as you saw yourself, a long night. I think we started at 6 p.m. Or I had to get there for like 3, but we started at 6 and didn't finish until like 4:15 in the morning. So it was a long, long night. But again, these are fight days you dream to be at. So I won't complain the fact that we had to work a few more hours, because it was a treat to be there. Before we get stuck into fight night, what did you make of fight week? Obviously, grand arrivals, public workout, press conference, weigh-ins. What did you make of everything?
Well, it was just a huge event. I mean, you know, it was Groundhog Day, going back to that area called Greece, as in the country, ancient Greece, in the boulevard at Riyadh season. But it built and built and built all week. It felt, I remember us talking on the Thursday night and saying, oh, we could have done with the fight tonight, not on the Friday night, because it felt like we'd been in there involved. And they're all late nights, of course, because they're 3 hours ahead. But, you know, I know it was a 10-hour card, but it was still thoroughly enjoyable. The whole week itself, I thought Anthony Joshua was hugely impressive all the way through the week. Obviously, the denouement, the culmination of his skills put to great effect on the night. But He carried himself brilliantly all week. And do you know what's really changed, Eddie, is the narrative of the heavyweight division. Not, and I'm not talking about Joshua's performance now, which we'll come on to, but the fact you've got Tyson Fury in the audience at the press conference, the fact you've got Frank Warren, Eddie Hearn, and Tyson Fury in those plush ringside seats next to His Excellency Turki Alalshikh, the minister. You've got more of a narrative going on all the time. It all adds to the layers in the storyline. It was an amazing week. Another big event. We're three big fights deep now into the Saudi Arabian investment into the heavyweight division. And it's all guns blazing. And everybody's talking about it still. So that's brilliant for boxing and heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the landscape of the heavyweight division has changed so much as well since Riyadh season started. I mean, who would have guessed at the start of Riyadh season that Joseph Parker would legitimately be the fourth best heavyweight on the planet? Like, no one would have put their hands up and said that's going to happen. And all of a sudden, because of those two wins for him, and we'll talk about him a lot actually in this show, but those two wins for him over Deontay Wilder and Jili Zhang, he's probably stolen Riyadh season actually. I mean, he's had probably the two biggest and best wins. And I guess that's the benefit of what His Excellency is doing. We're putting on these big fights, big opportunities, and some boxers are taking them.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you because I think Anthony Joshua has become the name of the Riyadh season because I think what he did was mega. I mean, I had Joe Joyce drawing with Jili Zhang, by the way, on my card. Remember, what Joseph Parker has done brilliantly is show his resilience against the two biggest punchers, two of the three biggest punchers in the sport, if you count Anthony Joshua, Jili Zhang and Deontay Wilder. What he's shown is that his resurgence and rejuvenation makes him a candidate to be a world champion again. He'll wait in the shadows. He's been very patient for the last couple of years, and his resilience to come back from those two knockdowns when he was hunted down by Jili Zhang for the first five rounds of the fight, had his nose busted, was absolutely extraordinary. And I do agree with you, he's a resurgent force. It's where and who he fights next, with lots of guys matched up. Ditto Anthony Joshua, and I'm sure we'll come into that as the show progresses.
How surprised, bear in mind, obviously, look, me and you spoke throughout the week, we caught up a couple of times, and I think we both looked at Ngannou, the confidence, what his trainer was saying, everything about Ngannou. We thought, okay, this is a guy that's built for the Rocky story. Like, there has to be this great ending. Bearing that all in mind, how surprised were you that Anthony Joshua got Ngannou out of there so quickly?
Very surprised that he dealt with him so easily with nary an issue. I mean, I think there were probably a couple of moments, if we're all honest, in the first minute and a half, where you did have a little bit of concern for Joshua. Ngannou was moving around. He did look effective. But as soon as he switched to southpaw, he made a huge error, in my view, because he allowed that big right hand down the pike. And, you know, Joshua took advantage of it. He's primed right now. He knows which parts of his armory to use. The game plan under Ben Davison and Lee Wiley is very, very precise. He's got A, B and C in front of him. He knows what to do. He's looked that way against Otto Wallin and now Francis Ngannou. And he's primed for Alexander Usyk or Tyson Fury.
Yeah, I think, look, you've covered the sport for so long. So you've seen sort of fighters that have a long career have to change their styles to almost survive in boxing, whether it be Floyd going from Pretty Boy Floyd to Money Floyd. Fighters have to evolve. Is this the new iteration of Anthony Joshua? Is this like AJ 2.0 now?
Yeah, I think it's almost 3.0, if I'm honest. We had the wrecking ball machine up to fight 17, 18, 19. Then we had the two losses to Andy Ruiz and Alexander Usyk in the space of, what was it, four or five fights. Yeah. So, or four fights, effectively. No, because he had Kapulev in the middle as well, didn't he? So five fights. So it was a more tentative Anthony Joshua. The Anthony Joshua of the last two fights is one who has a mature game plan. He knows what he is now. That's what George Foreman always said about him. He knows what he is. Know what you are and be it. The defeats don't matter anymore. And it looks like the way he fights now, the defeats don't matter. He may lose two more fights and win another three. It really doesn't matter. He will get a chance to fight for the undisputed title, we know that. Now, the big issue for me is whether, and Mauricio Sulaiman of the WBC has cleared this for the iteration Anthony Joshua 3.0 is, will there be a step aside if Usyk loses to Tyson Fury and we all get to see that Anthony Joshua Tyson Fury fight that we've waited for so long? We probably lost the Anthony Joshua Deontay Wilder fight now. That may never happen, but for God's sake, let's let common sense play out here. And if Tyson Fury deals Hendley with Alexander Usyk in the first fight, surely we all want Fury against Joshua then, and we don't want to wait a year for it, Addy.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, look, I get why rematch clauses are put into contracts. I understand the benefit of it from both sides of fighters, but surely I completely agree with you. If Fury beats Usyk, this is where I think His Excellency Turki Alşek has to come in, show his power and say, okay, Usyk, you must have to step aside. You have to, because we do need to see Fury versus AJ. We've been waiting for it for the best part of 6-7 years. We've had a couple of false dawns. And now, all of a sudden, AJ looks like he's at his best. If Fury beats Usyk, he'll have to be at his best. And it'll be the biggest fight we've seen in over a decade. I can't think of a bigger fight. I mean, Fury versus AJ, it's a 2 million pay-per-view buy fight. It's enormous. It's enormous. No, it's... Fury will sell it. And the fact that we've seen Eddie and Frank all smiling and kumbaya around the fire, that stops as well. Because they both have their number one charges against each other. It'll be fantastic.
Well, it also, what it will do is herald a massive audience traveling to Saudi Arabia as well, which I'm sure they want. So, you know, if you imagine in that Kingdom Arena, it's an amazing arena, by the way, to be in, isn't it?
The best indoor arena I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's enormous. What is it, 30,000 or whatever in there? It's a really big indoor stadium. It's cavernous. I could see... not just swathes of people, but hordes of people traveling over for that. And you know, I don't know if you've taken a walk around Boulevard City. I took my first chance on this trip to actually have a look and went to the Art Biennale in Diriyah this time. There's so much more to see in the city than, you know, you don't get that on the first trip, the second trip, the third sojourn. But by the time you travel more, if you've got tourists over there for 3, 4, 5 days or a week, there's so much to see there as well. And I really could see 10,000 people going over for Fury against Joshua, maybe even more from the UK.
Doesn't it? And I haven't been to Saudi a few times now. I fully understand the money that's on offer there. And it's difficult to tell fighters not to take the money that they're going to be offered, especially Fury, AJ. But does this fight not have to be at Wembley? Like, does it not have to be Fury versus Anthony Joshua? Doesn't it have to go to Wembley? Like, I asked Frank and Eddie about this, and I said, like, would His Excellency like almost put on the fight, but allow it to happen in the UK? They shut me down immediately, just for the record. But is there not going to be a wave of a response like this fight has to happen over here?
In a sense. Obviously, the Corinthian spirit would dictate that let's have it at Wembley with 100,000 UK fans. Mm. But they've invested so much already that I can't see them giving it up. And that's my whole point about this is the tipping point. Yeah. This is the tipping point where if you have AJ and Fury, Fury and AJ in Saudi Arabia, this is the moment when the fans truly will travel because they want to see that fight.
Finally, in this section, I want to quickly touch on Francis Ngannou. Obviously, look, 37 years of age, 0-2, albeit the O is against Fury and AJ. It's not the worst record to have. Obviously, look, he hasn't fought in the PFL yet. He is signed to fight in the PFL. Is his next fight in an octagon or in a ring?
Well, I mean, you could put him in against a Deontay Wilder right now and we'd all watch it. I mean, it wouldn't be a main event, of course. Well, I would. I said we all watch it. I think we'd have some interest in it, perhaps, yes.
Yeah, okay, fair.
But he may have run his course in boxing. There's a lot of critique about Tyson Fury right now and how he performed against him. Styles make fights, remember. Joshua did a number on him, maybe the number that people were expecting Fury to do on him back in October. But he'll be really, really saddened and having to lick his wounds. He's not going to feel good about that. He was very Ebullient all week. He closed Tyson Fury down at the press conference, didn't he? In a very strong manner. He went tete-a-tete with Fury at that dinner, or Fury laid into him. There's all this drama behind the scenes and then in front of us all at the press conference. He won't want to leave boxing in that way, but maybe he's just run his course.
Maybe the mystique has ended about the guy that couldn't be knocked out and couldn't be hurt. And obviously we saw what happened in that fight very early on. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to discuss the shocking news that Jake Paul will take on 57-year-old Mike Tyson. And we're going to talk the return of Joe Joyce and Dillian White this weekend as well. But up next, how does AJ's 2024 pan out following his big win on Friday night? Welcome back. You're listening to Final Extra. Adi Oladipo, Gareth A. Davis. We're still looking back, dissecting what we saw in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia on Friday night, early Saturday morning, in fact. Before we talk about 2024 for AJ, obviously, look, a fantastic 11 months for him. Fantastic for his new team, Ben Davis and Lee Wiley. I do quickly want to discuss a couple of the fights on the undercard. I feel like we need to kind of dive into those. They deserve a chat. Nick Ball versus Ray Vargas certainly deserves a chat. We only have three world champions, male world champions in this country. Joe Caldina, Chris Billam-Smith, Tyson Fury. Should we have another one in Nick Ball? Did he beat Ray Vargas for you?
Yeah, I had it 114-112 to Nick Ball. The two knockdowns. It was a fight of two halves and two heights, wasn't it? Let's put it that way. I think, you know, he lost arguably the first six rounds, but then he won the last six rounds with two knockdowns. So I had it 114-112 in the conclusion. I do hope he gets a rematch. I think he won't smother his work as much in a second fight, Addy, which he did at times. He took everything Vargas had to give him, took the body shots as if imperviously, frankly, and just marched him down the whole time. And was over him like a horrible rash for the second half of the fight. For me, he won the fight. He's right to be disgruntled about a draw, and I'd love to see the rematch. Maybe they can do it in June.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, good performance on the big stage as well from Nick Ball. Didn't freeze. And in there as well with a very good fighter in Ray Vargas. Great win as well for Mark Chamberlain, who was actually asked to be on the card by His Excellency. Good win for Louis Green as well. Big win for Joseph Parker. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you about Nick Ball. Did Joseph Parker win that fight?
I had it a draw in the end. I think Zhang was hunting him down, closing down the corners, closing down the space in the early rounds. Obviously, he got two knockdowns. Great comeback from Joseph Parker in the fight, of course. But I think it was a draw. It's a two-fight deal, remember? So they probably will play it back. Again, that could be another one of those events, if they're ready, that we could have in June, on the June 1st card that is slated for the Riyadh, it's not the Riyadh season. The Riyadh season's ended. It's off-season fights now, isn't it? And my understanding is that Daniel Dubois, Deontay Wilder, Flip Hrgović and Agit Kabayel, in no particular order there, that they're all tied up in fights. Exactly.
Like that, you're giving us a little golden nugget there.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a nugget there for you. Work it out. we've still got some big fights to come. So Parker and Zhang, I would definitely watch again. Zhang, though, I did not understand, Eddie, why he was so ineffective in those last four rounds. He barely threw a punch. He thought he was ahead on the cards.
Maybe so, but I mean, he didn't even look... I mean, he was tired, obviously. Look, he's a big man, 291 pounds, and he's 40 years of age. But it looked like the battery's completely shut down after round eight. You know, he landed zero punches in round 12. Zero.
Yeah.
I mean, I've
he thought he was ahead. He thought he was ahead on the cards. I mean, it's the only reason to think that he didn't go out there and throw some hands and try and win that last round. He must have thought he was ahead.
Yeah. Let's talk Anthony Joshua. Obviously, look, a lot of pressure going into this fight. Some said it was a lose-lose, right? He had to win the way in which he won to get all the plaudits, and he looked fantastic. Ngannou made a couple of mistakes, and AJ showed the experience of a boxer with an amateur background that you can't make mistakes against me.
And AJ looks really, really good, look confident, has that kind of mean, mugging attitude, which I don't mind all fight week. And he looks like he could be the best version that we've ever seen him. That being said, before I get too excited about him, he hasn't, I mean, look, he's looking really good, but it is Jermaine Franklin, it's Alanis Ottavolin, it's Ngannou. None of those guys are top 10 heavyweights. So I want to say he's incredible, but I feel like I do need to see him in there against another fellow top 10 heavyweight before I say he is absolutely back to his best.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would love to as well, but who does he face at the moment? That's the thing. I mean, Parker and Zhang are tied up. Usyk and Fury are tied up. I've just mentioned four other heavyweights there who I believe are tied up as well. That could change, of course. But outside those guys, there's Frank Sanchez, Efia Jagba, Jared Anderson, Martin Bacoli.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Joe Joyce, who fights this weekend. Dillian White's fighting this weekend.
All of a sudden, some names are coming out of the hat.
Yeah. So, Martin Bacoli, Dillian White, if he wins this weekend, quickly and effectively. Joe Joyce, if he wins this weekend. There's three guys he could fight off the bat, and we'd watch those, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do wonder, even if Tyson Fury gets past Alexander Usyk, let's just say, I mean, this is hypothetical, obviously, but let's just say Fury makes it look easy, which I don't think he will, but let's say he does. There's something about AJ's activity now where I still feel like AJ might want another one in between. I don't know why it's risky to do, but I almost feel like AJ might want this every 3 or 4 month thing that he's doing because it's working. And I think if AJ were to go in right now with someone like a Dillian White, I think AJ could make pretty light work of it. I think AJ wants to stay busy.
I completely agree. That's why I mentioned Dillian White, because we were due to have that fight last April. I think it was April, wasn't it? And obviously Robert, it was August. It was the August fight. April was Jermaine Franklin, of course. Yeah. Look, I think he does want to stay busy. I was very impressed with him all week. I don't know about you, but I just loved what he was giving off. He was, I had a sit down with him with about four or five other people on Wednesday before the press conference. And he really was in very communicative, very jovial mood, very a great clarity around him. I don't know if you found that with him as well, that there wasn't the normal tenseness about him. He was really enjoying in camp. Ben Davison had done a very deep interview with me saying how much he enjoys being in the Davison Performance Center. The McCormack twins are a great laugh. I mean, they never stop. They're always bubbly. Chris Congo's there. Lee Wood's there. There's a great group of guys who don't treat him like the superstar he is. They treat him as one of the boys, and I think he enjoys that. It's not a long journey from Watford up to Harlow to get to the training camp. He has Thursdays off. Ben Davison as well is a guy who I've known 7 years. He's got a very wise head on young shoulders, very old, wise head. And I think they're the perfect combination.
Yeah, it's working. It clearly is. Obviously, AJ flying from, as you say, Watford or London to Texas to work alongside Derek James in that camp, just it didn't work. And sometimes you almost have to cut ties very, very quickly. There's no point forcing it and staying there. And obviously, right now with Ben Davison and Lee Wiley, AJ looks like he's in a good mood, looks like he's in a good space. And they say with boxers, the skill's all there. It's what's between the ears. And right now, whatever AJ's got between his ears is working, and long may it continue. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're going to talk return of a couple of big boys. The heavyweights are back. Joe Joyce and Dillian White.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back. You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. A couple of heavyweights are back this weekend. Joe Joyce is back for the first time since those back-to-back losses against Zhili Zhang. He fights Cash Ali. You guys might remember Cash Ali. He actually fought David Price and bit him. Bit of a step down, I think, this one for Joe Joyce. But nonetheless, he's in the ring. He's active. And Dillian White is back as well. Obviously, look, we haven't seen Dillian White since Jermaine Franklin. That was his last fight, which was November 2022. Was supposed to fight AJ in August. Tested positive performance enhancing drug. He's proved his innocence. He's now back in the ring. And he's going to fight in Ireland on St. Patrick's Day, which is a bit odd, but it's good to see Dillian White back as well. Let's talk about Joe Joyce. A year is a long time in boxing because a year ago, Joe Joyce was knocking on the door to take on a Tyson Fury or Alexander Usyk. People were even asking for the Deontay Wilder fight. He rang in to Mr. Big Bang Zhili Zhang, and now it's almost a case of having to kind of start again. Obviously, look, if he beats Cash Ali, he goes straight into a big one. But it's weird seeing Joseph Parker ranked number 4 and Joe Joyce 18 months ago destroyed Joseph Parker.
Yeah, I mean, look, A beats B, B beats C, C beats A. It's the way it rolls.
Yeah,
and
it's the way it works.
It is. I spoke to Joe Joyce ahead of Parker against Zhang, and he said, oh, I'd much rather Parker beat Zhang because then it gives me the route back to the guy I've beaten already. But maybe Parker beats Joyce now. You don't know. I mean, he's very resurgent, isn't he? So that's a fight we'd love to see again. You know, we're not going to see it for a while, but he's a massive favourite against Cash Ali this weekend. He's part of that magnificent 7 card. So, you know, Nathan Heaney and Brad Pauls, we should give a mention to on that as well. That's a great fight on there. Nathan Heaney, his win against Denzel Bentley, what he's done as an undefeated fighter, which is not necessarily the most important thing, is extraordinary. The 1,300 miles he drives giving out his tickets in his beaten up old car. He's probably driving a nice Mercedes by now, to be honest. But, you know, it's a big card this weekend in that sense. A lot of great matchups. But I think Joe Joyce, all eyes will be on Joe Joyce, and he'll want to be dramatic, emphatic, and make a statement.
Yeah, very quickly, I want to go back to Nathan Heaney before we talk about Joe Joyce again, because I think you made a fantastic point. I think a lot of boxing fans need to know and need to understand. Nathan Heaney has sold nearly 2,000 tickets for this magnificent 7.1. Let's call it 7.1. He individually gives every ticket out. He drives to all the homes of people that has bought tickets, knocks on their door and gives them the ticket hand to hand. That's astonishing. I mean, that's the way to keep a fan base. This is the reason why he's got this fan base, because he does that. I don't know any boxer that, I mean, look, boxers do that, but not 2,000. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. He has a tremendous energy about him. He's just such an extraordinary character in lots of ways. And he is very much the triumph of the human spirit, the human warrior spirit. You know, years ago, I went on the bin round, you know, at 5 a.m. with Rendell Monroe in Leicester.
And it was in Leicestershire. Rendell Monroe, what a man.
Yeah, Rendell, he was a big reggae guy. His dad had the biggest reggae collection in the world. And Rendell was big guns at the time. He was an emphatic, relentless fighter. Obviously, he went to Japan in the end. He didn't win the world title. And they all went in their fluorescent jackets to support him, all his bin man crew. But I went with him at 5 a.m. We did the whole round. It was snowing. It was icy. Rendell never stopped running the entire time. I mean, it was exhausting. Then we all had a big fry up with the whole crew. It was a great morning. We documented it. There was a videographer there and a camera woman there as well. But Nathan's energy reminds me of Rendell. Yeah. And it's almost puppyish at times, but you can see him growing in confidence at the moment. And you can't write him off against Brad Paul's either. Or I hasten to say, having big fights maybe at world level, which we would never have expected 2 or 3 years ago.
No. And look, good luck to him. Back to the juggernaut, Joe Joyce. Look, he'll get rid of Cash Daly. I can guarantee you that unless something incredible happens, I can guarantee he gets rid of Cash Daly. I think even inside 3 or 4 rounds, if he does that quick, how quick for him to get in the mix here in Riyadh season? He would have been, post-Riyadh season now, he would have been watching this jealous, right? Of all the guys going over there, making really big money, big fights. And he was that close, an inch away from being involved in this. How quick does Frank put him in a big one?
Well, this is that tease, isn't it? And this is where he's, like I say, got to make a statement. He's being set up to make a statement here. I say, don't actually put all your life savings on it, because you never know in boxing. You don't know what those two fights against Zhili Zhang have taken out with him.
True.
Cash Ali is going to be thinking the same here as Joe Joyce. If I get the Wonder Punch and knock him out, will I get the wild card into the fights in Saudi Arabia and be up against one of the big name heavyweights? So he'll be putting his all in. I fully expect Joe to stop him in, like you say, under 5 rounds. Big fight for him. Big fight for Joe to get back into that mix, because he is a juggernaut. And before the 2 defeats to Zhili Zhang, we were relishing, we were salivating about fights with the likes of Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury and even Alexander Usyk, because they met in the amateurs. So it's a big moment for Joe, and he needs to, as I say, just needs to make a statement that he's still got it, he still believes in himself, and he can go out there and do a number.
Yeah, big moment for Joe, big fight for Joe, maybe even bigger for Dillian White. Dillian White, obviously, was supposed to have that Anthony Joshua a fight. It would have been their third fight. Obviously, they had a fight as an amateur. Anthony Joshua beat Dillian White when they fought for the British title way back when, and they were supposed to get it on again in August. That didn't happen. Dillian White hasn't fought since. He's been radio silent, really. You don't really hear from Dillian White unless he's posting things about Fabio Wardley and Thomas Carty. Dillian White is back. He takes on Christian Hamer this weekend on the west coast of Ireland on St. Patrick's Day. And before we discuss Dillian White, let's hear from the man, Dillian White. He spoke to TalkSport last week and said, look, he wants 3 or 4 fights this year and would still like the opportunity to take on Anthony Joshua.
I'm going to have this fight and then I'll try and fight again. I want to fight 3 times this year. So whichever time they want it, I'm ready. You know, I'm trying to fight 3 times this year, 4 times if I can. That way,
do you want Joshua though? Do you still want him again?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we have unfinished business. That I'll fight him even 10 years from now, even when I'm old and retire, I'll still come back to fight him.
Dillian White, there speaking to TalkSport. He's back. He's back again. I feel like, I don't know if you've had any private conversations with him, Gareth, but he has been radio silent since the issue with Anthony Joshua. He is now back. I don't really want to get into why he's back and how he's back. He's back, right? Boxing will be boxing. And again, almost like what we're talking about with Joe Joyce, to have another name like Dillian White sort of chucked into this mix of heavyweights circling in Saudi Arabia is a good thing.
Yeah, I feel journalistically I need to say that Dillian White has been cleared on contaminated supplements. I do feel like I need to say that is the reason he's back. I think he was right to keep his counsel. Look how it backfired on young Conor Benn and Eddie Hearn in all the talking they did during his case. My feeling is he's done well and he's been wise to be radio silent. I haven't had a conversation with him, but I think he's... Again, he's going to be one of those guys. He's a big figure. He's going to be one of those guys relishing getting in the mix. He's another big baby Gerald Miller type character, isn't he? He's a huge character, loves to trash talk, won't take a backward step. And against Christian Hamer, who he faced at the weekend, this is a guy, remember, who's lost to Tyson Fury, lost to Alexander Povetkin, lost to Luis Ortiz, lost to Huey Fury, Frank Sanchez and Joe Joyce. So it's an opportunity for him to go out there, let his hands go and make a statement. Same as Joe Joyce.
Yeah, the only difference, I think, for Dillian Whyte compared to Joe Joyce is that I think Christian Hamer's not an easy fight to come back to. I mean, he gives you rounds, Christian Hamer. Look, Dillian Whyte should beat him. And if he doesn't, then I guess there are more problems to answer to. But it's not the easiest to fight for someone that's not been in the ring for a year and a half. And the last time we did see him in the ring, he didn't look great against Jermaine Franklin. So not the easiest of comeback fights for Dillian Whyte.
No, it's not. But it's still the right kind of opponent to put him in that Saudi Arabian mix. I do think if he wins that they'll include him in the group. I do not see him being pushed to the outside because, I say, he's got too much to offer in many ways.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Up next, we're going to discuss. You saw the announcement last week. Jake Paul will take on Mike Tyson. Yes, you heard me right.
How sad would it be, by the way, if Jake Paul knocked out Mike Tyson? Which is a possibility, if I'm totally honest, because of Tyson, where he's sat, his age, 57 years of age, health not particularly great, and you go, you've got this young kid going in there, and could you imagine if that happens? What it would do to Tyson, his legacy and whatnot. I mean, it was a sad day when Kevin McBride knocked him out.
Yeah.
That was a really sad day. I would hate for that. So, yeah, I just think it's really sad. I understand it because of the money side of things. I understand the business side of it and the entertainment side.
Well, it's on
side.
Netflix, isn't it?
And that it do unbelievable pay-per-views. I get it. Yeah. I totally understand it, but it would be such a shame.
I think it dragged boxing and potential boxing people into a difficult space.
Yeah.
I think this idea that it's all about Disneyfication, it's commercial, it's business, it's television entertainment, I get it.
Welcome back to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis, back from Saudi Arabia. As we were in Saudi Arabia, news broke of a Jake Paul fight. Now, I kind of got sort of whispers that this would have been announced when Jake Paul had his last fight in Puerto Rico. Obviously, so much happened in that fight. Amanda Serrano not fighting. I guess that this wasn't the right time to announce it. But he did announce his fight. And the two things that surprised me. Number one, obviously, the main thing, his opponent, 57-year-old Mike Tyson. That surprised me a lot, and we're going to get into it. Number two, and there's been a lot of talk about these guys entering the boxing market, this fight will be on Netflix, which obviously is the biggest streaming platform in the world. So that's a big tick there for Jake Paul. I'm not quite sure, though, about the opponent. In fact, no, that's a lie. Not that I'm not quite sure about the opponent. I think the opponent's a disgrace. Let me just speak the truth here. I don't like the idea of 57-year-old Mike Tyson fighting Jake Paul. I don't like the idea at all. I know he had that little exhibition fight against Roy Jones. And look, for parts of that fight, it was okay. But Jake Paul is a young man and Mike Tyson is a great granddad. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's a very difficult one to contemplate if Mike Tyson is a hero for you and you grew up watching him in his prime and in his mom. Obviously, you know, I count myself as friends with Mike Tyson, and I don't begrudge him in any way having a massive payday out of this, which it will, because there'll be millions watching. Because most people will want to see him knock out the young heel that is Jake Paul. Whether he can do it at 57, as you rightly mentioned his age there, is another matter. The problem for Mike in this contest, if something goes wrong for him, it probably shatters a bit of his legacy in the ring as well. He hasn't fought competitively since 2005. And in 2020, in that exhibition with Roy Jones Jr., Jones was very disappointing. And Mike really wanted to let his hands go, didn't he?
Was that 4 years ago?
That was 2020, I believe, during lockdown. It was, I think so. And it was either 2020 or 2021. And if you recall, Addy, that was one of the most watched pay-per-views of the year, if not the most. So there'll be massive eyeballs on this, masses of eyeballs. Should Mike Tyson be doing it? Given what he's been through in his life and the amount of money he's earned, probably not. He should have been not needing to do this right now. But we've got the greatest and most famous living boxer on the planet against the arguably the most clever YouTube influencer marketeer in this new world of social media against him. So you know, Jake Paul's a really smart cat, but so is Mike Tyson. But I think the actual bout itself will probably disappoint.
Yeah, I mean, we're going too far now, aren't we? I mean, if this was a Jake Paul calling out someone like a Floyd who's in his 40s and still looks in great shape and he can all hits the pads. And I'm not trying to say that should happen, but I'm just trying to give an example of someone that's recently retired. I get it. Mike's 57. And you rightly said his last fight was against Kevin McBride in 2005. And he kind of just fell over and quit in that fight. Danny Williams before that, I remember that one where he kind of just sat on the ropes and was like, enough's enough. And here we are, 23 years later or so, and we're digging him back out to fight. And I'm just like, and I think we said on a show we did a couple of weeks ago, I was like, what is Jake Paul doing? You know, he's had these fights against former MMA guys that, you know, relatively still in shape, Nate Diaz, Anderson Silva, who beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., you know, before that, so decent fights. And now he's had these fights against Andre August and Ryan Borland, is it? And now Mike Tyson. I mean, what's the plan here? Are you trying to be... I think he keeps on saying he wants to be a world champion. This isn't the route. You know, Mike beating Mike doesn't put you in the WBC top 10 rankings. I don't get it.
No.
Apart from money. And they're both pretty wealthy as far as I'm concerned.
Look, as you rightly put out earlier on, before we start recording the show, WTF is this. This has to be joke, has to be. When Buster Douglas, it was announced, who's 63, will face Michael Spinks, 67, in an AI boxing match this summer. Hopefully it is AI and that it's not real, because it doesn't feel real. Last week, it didn't feel real on Thursday afternoon when it was announced that Jake Paul will fight Mike Tyson on Netflix. I say it again, July the 20th at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Don't want to make that a promo. But look, Netflix have shown golf and tennis before. They're slated to show WWE soon. And Netflix have probably approached them with this idea. I thought Jake Paul was going to call out KSI soon and they were going to have that fight. But I'd rather that fight than Mike Tyson, frankly. But it is what it is, and we cannot stop these things happening.
Yeah, a Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury rematch would have been decent for Netflix. As you say, Jake Paul, KSI, Netflix would have broken every record known to mankind. It would have been fantastic. I just wonder if Jake Paul's maybe had a look at the response to the real fights he's had, right? And I know people might, you know, laugh at Andre August and, again, his last opponent, who I believe, Ryan Borland. And I wonder if he's thought, you know, there's not much interest. I'm not getting the same traction I got. I need something a bit controversial. I need something that people will talk about, good or bad, because as they say, bad publicity is good publicity. And that's why he's gone down this route. Like, I'm going to get a lot of stick, but look, we're talking about it now. Everyone's talking about it. I've seen people make tons of videos on it, and they weren't doing that about Andre August and the last opponent. So I wonder if he's just gone back to being Mr. Problem Child and causing problems.
Look, here's the bottom line. If we're offered not to work on it, but because obviously if we were offered to work on it, we'd go and work on it, I assume.
Oh, I'm flying out
tomorrow. Get the nod. Yeah. So, but if we were offered a ticket to go and see it, would we go as a fan?
No.
But will you watch it if you're not working on it and you don't fly to it? Will you watch it on Netflix?
Good question. Probably.
You will, because we'll do a live along if we're not
probably,
working.
You're right. Probably,
watch
probably
it. We'll
would,
do a live along together.
That's it. That'll do good numbers.
It's a rubbernecker fight. It's a rubbernecking fight. That's what it is.
No, you are correct. It's one of those ones that people will fall out, will watch out. Timing was interesting as well, wasn't it? I mean, he did it, I think, on the eve of AJ Ngannou. So the boxing world.
It was 2 hours before the weigh-in.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. Very quickly, because I feel like we're going to get stick if we don't do this. I know time's at a short here, but I'd be remiss of me if I didn't mention Sugar Sean O'Malley. So a good win for him and a good win for Dustin Poirier on the weekend as well. I know a lot of MMA fans tune in, obviously because of your MMA heritage, and they get upset when we don't talk MMA. Sean O'Malley, I'm saying, you know, the UFC needed a superstar. That's probably one right there. And Dustin Poirier proves that there's still life left in the old dogs. You know, the UFC want to chuck these new young kids at them. They'll knock them out. So good wins for both of them. And for MVP making his UFC debut as well.
Yeah, there's a great film about Dustin Poirier, by the way, going back to his days in Louisiana called fight, Phil. Have you ever seen it?
No.
It's a must watch. It's a great documentary. It's way back when, before he fought McGregor, before he fought the Korean Zombie. It was made then. What a long a career of longevity he's had. He really is the diamond. No, he really is the diamond. I've watched him grow up. He's a great character. And I think he's revealing after this contest that he's been through some very dark days in his latest defeat. But also, Sean O'Malley, you rightly say, a rising superstar at the moment within the UFC that they truly need. And I think Chito Vera was the perfect foil, if you like, because he's the guy that's in your face, going to beat you up, will fight you now in the street, on the cobbles, behind the MGM Grand, behind the T-Mobile Arena, in the back rooms, in the dressing rooms. But O'Malley came through and was victorious. Good for him. Great star.
Great start, indeed. Looking forward to his next fight. He says he wants to fight May 5th. He wants to fight in the Sphere in Las Vegas, which is an incredible venue. If you haven't seen it, just Google the Sphere and be impressed. This isn't your normal indoor-outdoor arena. This is something from Mars. It looks like that as you walk past it as well. Gareth, as always, we crammed a lot, as we do, into an hour's show. We're back next week, as we will talk about Joe Joyce and Dillian White and the Magnificent Seven and whatever else happens between now and next week. See you then.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.